If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of one life. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is the sixth day of flowering. A new era begins. So let's take a deep breath. Synchronize and align with your perfect place within the great life that we co-share with the all that is. Feel a sense of connectedness with all planetary systems, with all peoples throughout this and a myriad of worlds. Feel solidly part and parcel of the one universal life. Allow every part of your being to come into balance and alignment. Perfect symphonic resonance with the music of the spheres, with the primordial word of God that rings and sings through every cell of our being, keeping us continually attuned to the all that is, birthless, deathless, immortal, forever expanding into greater and greater inclusive being. That is who and what we are forever and ever. So today we're going to be looking through the lens of the great timekeepers, those Pleiadian star-seeded ones that came, that we knew as the Mayan civilization, and know today as the Mayan civilization, because it flourishes still. In fact, I've done a considerable amount of work with the Mayans myself, and I've made journeys to the Yucatan. And although I can't claim to be a scholar of the Dzogchen or the Mayan calendar, I'm going to be referring to notes that I made from a study that I did of the Mayan calendar from the book by that title, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness by Dr. Carl Johan Kalleman, C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N. It's a tremendous work that requires he's made it as easy as possible with all of his charts, but it does require some study. And I can only do a glossary cruise over of the information on these shows. So I encourage you, if you're interested in really keeping track with the trends that we're moving through now as we go into the last 3 years of the completion of this cycle, it's exciting. And today we enter a new day, a new birth with our new president. And I join with millions of others throughout the world in watching a whole shifting of the guard, a whole transferal of energy to what we have collectively chosen to be the new energy that we want to deal with. So our last few shows, we've been really looking at the fact that this is all Maya or illusion. It's a dream field and unreal, and that nothing is really happening. But having said all that, I don't want you to ever get to the point where you say, well, what's the point of trying to do anything? Because that's not the point. the point is to be in the world but not of it. To recognize that, yes, it's impermanent, it's in a state of change, it's a dreamlike projection of the separated mind, and essentially nothing real is really happening, and therefore nothing real is threatened. And truly, nothing unreal exists. So therein is the peace of God, and therein is the peace that we can be centered in, even though we seem to be operating in a very conflicting, polarized, and dualistically positioned world. But still, nevertheless, we have very specifically for a very specific, crucial point that only we can fulfill. And you know, the study and research, the more obvious it is to me that all is well, and we are perfectly on course. And that is the value of studying the Mayan Dzogchen, or calendar. And it's not just one cycle. They look at several different cycles. And it requires a little bit of study for you to really begin to see the picture. But once you do, you're going to really be comfortable with cooperating and flowing with the changes rather than experiencing a sense of fear. So it's true, time, as we know it, is an illusion. Having said that, Earth is in a time lag. It is repeating history. It is going through the same old thing over and over and over. And perhaps this is why the Mayans came back in time from the future, from the Pleiades, from the great central sun system of Alcyon, to actually serve as the civilization who would keep us on track and keep us from going back into the old cycles ad nauseum, you know, over and over and over. Because we're coming to the end of them completely and totally, to where we will be no time, and everything will have come to an end in terms of prophetically guessing or prognosticating what's going to happen. That's finished. That's over. It no longer applies. And even though many people have very strong investiture in certain prophetic scenarios, almost they're waiting, oh, this will happen and this will happen and then that will happen, according to the Mayans, it ain't necessarily so. But again, they look at it in a huge galactic and cosmic overview, as well as a planetary overview. So they have a very broad basis in which they're viewing the cycles and the things that we go through. So again, I've been stressing that we're not really here. We've never been in a physical body, and we've never left the heart of God. So I don't want you to get the idea that you should just sit around and avoid involvement entirely with the earthly matters, because we have a dharma, we have a duty to be here until we're not, and to do what we do until we don't. And as long as we keep showing up each day, there are things that we need to do. Because where you are in consciousness is where you need to act from until you're no longer in that state. And as you act from that state and develop a dual consciousness of being in the world, but being kind of backed off in an observer point of reference, you don't get overly attached one way or the other, but you just make the best choice you can in the moment, using love as your touchstone. That is the place marker that you place out before you. I will make a loving choice here. You just follow the loving, or follow the beloved, as I often say. And that's your reference point. Other than that, you try as best you can not to get sucked into polarity. Because if you go too far to the right or too far to the left, you're out of balance. And you won't walk in that divine neutrality that we know is soul consciousness. So try to stay in the middle. Pick that middle path that Buddha spoke of. Not too much on one side, not too much on the other, but yet walk after the reality and the consciousness level that you've attained, the measure of light, the measure of understanding, the measure of clarity, and just one moment at a time, one day at a time, keeping present with your process, and you'll find that you're walking in the new paradigm. So how can we live here in this world and not get further entrapped? That's another thing we've been looking at carefully. And the process has been, well, you look beyond the form. forgiving the illusion that seems to be happening, realizing that it's just a dream, it never really happened, and in that process you forgive yourself for seeing an illusion or judging it or whatever it is you do when you go into identification with form. And in that forgiving and looking beyond, you step free. And you release yourself and you release the situation and the person. And that way you can make a stitch in time, kind of like edit portions out of the scenario that you don't have to go through anymore because you learned the lesson of unified consciousness. So it is important to be involved in the world and to be an active participant, but not an attached participant. People sometimes ask, is it important for me to be involved in the political and financial arenas? Or to promote causes and serve in social activistic positions? Does any of that matter? Well, if it matters to you, it matters. And since we all are under a political regime of some sort, and we're all subject to the financial gains and losses of Wall Street, or our given economies, wherever we may be, yeah, you do have to deal with those things. But again, without attachment, without any investiture into eternal verity when it comes to these things. These things are passing. They are transitory. They are subject to our collective learning in those various arenas. They're not of themselves important. They're means to an end. So according to the Mayan Zolk'in, we have had our Armageddon, which has been taking place, according to them, since 1999, which in a way constituted a very elongated World War III. So they say by 2009, that's the year we're in now, my friends, it will be starting to wind down. It will take some doing. It won't necessarily be easy. It even may get a little bit worse before it gets better. Yet, it will end. And that's the good news. The Mayans, I think, are unique in many, many prophetic scenarios because they point to a time when we move into the unified consciousness irrevocably, to where we don't revert back. We don't go into another cycle. At least if we do, they don't mention it, and it's off the charts in terms of what it will be like, so there's nothing said of it at all, except at a certain date, it's all completed. So let's read from this wonderful book by Dr. Coleman. We have just come out of Night 5, which was a time of deep crisis for global materialistic cultures. Four destructive reactions, Armageddon, the European Union, and Germany were in the center of the drama. So that was a period of time from November 19, 2007, to November 12, 2008. So this is where it gets interesting. Where are we now? We are in day 6. Wow. Day 6, the day of flowering. The entrance into the 11th heaven, governed by the goddess of birth. The sixth day just began and will last until, as I said, November 7th, 2000. And, see, started November 2008 and will go until November 7th, 2009, yeah. So, we have just done a wonderful thing. It's so perfect that we elected a young Afro-American president whose motto is change, and yes, we can. He is the perfect reflection of our collective entrance into Christ consciousness, which was also, interestingly enough, reflected on 888 with the eight-figure crop circle formation. Very, very interesting, that crop circle. So our present moment is very specifically a time of renaissance, of an advanced synthesis that that begins to unite us in co-creativity, which is really something that I think President Obama has really stressed, is the fact that, yes, we can, and it takes all of us working together, taking responsibility to fulfill our portion. And so this is the unification and co-creativity, which is the very quintessential essence of Day 5. So the tensions that we see reflected in the world basically are conflicts between the old and the new, between the global materialistic power and spirituality, leading to a sense of unified endeavor. So, because we are light workers that set the pace, I think we have a light worker now as our president here in the United States. I mean, time will tell. But it really looks like his energies are very much attuned to the Mayan sixth day. And, of course, he was inaugurated into office during this day six of flowering and a new birth. So I'm very, very pleased. And the times that we are in require more than anything else looking clearly to see what's there and being willing to let something new come in, which means that a lot of things are being wrested from our lives, being seemingly swept away. And that's devastating on a personality human level. But, you know, our challenge is just to really hang in there with it, because we're being led into a time that's so incredibly glorious that it's like having a baby, in the sense that you have this terrible pain and then you forget it all because you have this beautiful child. So let's look a little bit at the days and the nights in the Mayan calendar and see how they apply to our cycle. The days, and remember we're in the sixth day, refer to right brain activity. And they're associated with periods of great creativity, breakthroughs, new inventions, the birth of new concepts, new awareness, new filters. New things become visible that weren't before apparent to us. Blossoming of new endeavors, flourishing of new momentums. And sometimes economic ups and downs, which again are very reflective of many, many different factors in our human equation. Nights are usually times, and they're governed by the left brain, they're usually times of integration and adjusting. They're periods where you kind of hunker down and try to cope with managing what the changes have been in the prior cycle. And so it can be a time of economic instability and decline or recession. And again, a lot of conflicts between the old ways and the new ways, which at that point sort of foment under the surface as you work things out in the collective subjective consciousness. Again, a time for forgiveness and meditation and releasing. So we just came out of a night in November, and now we're in the day. And we have a new president. We have an opportunity now to not go back into the old ways of doing things. And we can hope and pray that together we can find new ways to source energy into the world, to source ourselves creatively in terms of financial endeavor. So many stores are closing their doors now. Well, do we do business as usual, or can we find other ways of doing things and other ways to support the wherewithal that we all need to do what we need to do in this world? Could be simpler, I think. I noticed when I was in India, for example, in the early 1970s, you know, it was very easy to shop because they had only one brand of toothpaste and one brand of soap, you know, to wash your clothes, and there weren't a lot of choices. this last time I went in 2006, there were so many choices that it was almost as confusing as it is here. We don't actually need so many choices of so many things, do we? We could actually, in fact, be a little bit more pared down in some of these commercially driven systems and find other ways. This is the time for that, to find other ways. And so these days are associated with creativity and developing new systems, and that's the time that we're in now. We have a new president. Now we can focus on co-creating new systems. And the energy industry is one such. That's very important for many, many starseed to get involved with. And finding alternative energy sources, for example. So, in terms of the economy, the year 2002 was a period in which we saw the dramatic decline in stocks related to telecommunication. And that was perhaps due to the series of scandals involving fraud. So these are those times when the filters lift and suddenly we can see the petty larcenies and the deceits of the collective ego-driven systems very clearly for what they are. And we shouldn't be pointing too many fingers of blame at these people who are exposed, because we all have those areas in us. So we can't really point to anyone and say, oh, well, you know, it was just him or it was just her. No, we all co-share in this collective revelation and unveiling and revealing of what's under, you know, what's behind the action, what's under the cover, so to speak. So this fifth night that we've just come out of that produced our financial begin to start the recession process was the 10th heaven, and it was November 19th, 2007 to November 13th, 2008. And this was called period of Shiva. It was under the energy of Shiva, the destructor, and the god of darkness. And that was a time, we're in the midpoint of this night five. We actually had the recession and financial collapses start to come in big time. So, again, we've come through that. The Ashtar Command has said recently that we can expect a brightening on all levels, that things will start to get better and brighter for everyone, that the world wars will begin to dwindle down until they finally flicker out entirely. And that we're going to see a time when the transfer of money goes from fueling things which are really fueling the ego's addictive agendas and entrapping agendas with things that actually enhance the common weal, that contribute to the common good. We're going to see it move into the hands of the light, the forces of light. And that's going to be increasingly the case. So today, since we're in the sixth day under the goddess of birth in the 11th heaven, and remember the 11 is always a dimensional bridge. We're building that bridge now to total enlightenment. This is the last little bit of home stretch that we have to completely dissolve the divided mind ego agenda of projecting blame outside itself. We have this little bit of wiggle room to complete this cycle of vanquishing our collective ego, which again is the consciousness of separation. The sense of time speeding up and in some instances seeming to stand still is part of our collective adjusting to eventually know time. We can see, since it's so erratic, that it must be subject to consciousness. It must not have anything to do with anything real because it's so fluctuating in its manifestation. So we are collectively being adjusted to the new state of oneness of all life, the unified field, and our budding Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness does not have anything to do with any world religion or world religious figure. It has to do with the unified field of divine love and light. We might call it the active expression of good will, or the will to goodness. So that is something we're moving into collectively. And we are collectively viewing and confronting and slaying our collective ego, our collective darkness, as projected into the outer world. And again, we slay our ego by allowing the light of love and truth within us to guide our actions instead of separation and grievance. And we learn to replace good by our natural proclivity. We learn to replace judgment with forgiveness. And, you know, I think to keep balanced at this time, it is really important to have a great ideal. In India, they're called an Ishta Devata, which is your chosen spiritual focus, whether it's a mantra, a name of God, or a specific form of God, or a specific symbol for the divine. It could be, for example, a candle flame. It could be the sound current within you, or it could be the figure of Jesus or Krishna. It's important to have a pole star, so to speak, spiritually speaking, that keeps you oriented, that keeps you on track, that keeps you focused into a specific direction for your citta, your mind, to flow in. Otherwise, if there's too much of a random pasture out there without a specific focus, you get a little bit lost inside yourself. So it helps to have a great divine love. You know, many people have found that in their spiritual teachers or their gurus. For me, it's always been Jesus. I don't know, since I was a little girl, I've just always really resonated with a close relationship with him. That didn't have anything to do with church because my parents didn't really go to church very often. But it's just always been a very strong relationship with me. But, you know, it can be whatever it is for you. You have to find your own great example that causes you to feel connected, and your own personal spiritual friend, so to speak. So, according to the Mayans, we have been working for this whole past 26,000 year cycle to the point that we will reach October the 28th, 2011. Do you realize how soon that is? Good heavens. I must confess I can't quite wrap my mind around it. I know many of the enlightened ones of India have said that the changes will be so complete, the transformations will be so supernaturally implemented, that the very heart and mind of mankind will change almost overnight. It'll be like just suddenly a switch turns on and we're back before we ever went into separated consciousness. And the Native Americans echo that. They say the day the whole planet will be transformed into a pristine, beautiful, beautiful, pre-industrialized, natural state. Wow. I can only equate that with a great dimensional grid shift in which we suddenly displace the grid of one-dimensional outpicturing with the grid coordinates of a whole different Earth. And many people call that the ascension, or the rapture or the transfiguration, and well, whatever works for you. I think it's going to be a little of all of those things. But the fact that we have this ancient civilization, which if you study, which I have kind of in a not a real great in-depth, but just my cursory study of the Mayan calendar, I'm just overwhelmed at how the events that we've had happen in our planet have fallen into these days and night cycles. Each time you can see that the Mayan calendar is accurate because you only have to look back and see, oh, wow, yeah, this happened and this happened and this happened. So you might want to get that book in the library if you can, or order a copy, and check out these charts, because you'll be really impressed, I think. And it'll begin to give you a sense of continuity and integration. You know, I think that studying the Mayan calendar really integrates your galactic and your planetary sense of being. So by October 28th, 2011, according to the Mayan, the ego self, the divided mind, the split mind, the ego mind, will be no more. It will be no more. It will have totally been dissolved during the previous cycle of what they call the universal underworld. And we will be in the seventh day of the planetary underworld, which began on February 11th, 1992. So we'll be in the seventh day of that by October 28th, 2011. So the universal underworld is where we've been doing that deep, subjective work that we've been doing, all of us, big time since 1992. That's when we've been doing all of the, so much of the inner child work and examining the contents of our subconscious and a lot of things that we've been doing as light workers during that time to awaken and kind of clear up our inner levels that we project our reality from. So a consciousness completely devoid of internal conflicts. Wow, can you imagine that? A consciousness devoid of internal conflicts will be attained by 2011. We will no longer project external conflicts into the world. We've been speaking now on a number of shows about how we project the world we see. And the ego projects internal states of separation into the outer world and then creates drama and conflict around that or againstness so that it doesn't have to be responsible for it. And that's how the ego self maintains its so-called temporary existence. But remember, you're not the ego, and you're not your mind, and you're not your emotional state, and you're not your physical body. And by the way, you're not your gender either. We're having so much talk now about sexuality, homosexuality, and heterosexuality, and all the different ramifications of marriaging and relationship patternings and all of that, because people have been so attached to identifying themselves with their gender or with their plumbing or with the label that they seem to wear over their head in terms of, well, you're a woman or you're a man or you're a whatever. And as we began the process of coming back into the unified field, there we're having some conflict because we don't relate, many of us, to being either a man or a woman. And yet society says, well, you got to be something. They don't have a question mark when there's a question of what sex you are. They don't have a category that says undecided or whatever. It has to be male or female. And yet, the soul has no gender. God has no gender. We call, you know, just for the sake of nice little prayers, Mother, Father, God, or Father, Mother, God. But in truth, God is neither a father nor a mother. God is the unified whole. And we're part of that as a spirit. And so we're not gender-defined. We're not at all gender-defined. In fact, we're all ACDC on the other side, because we can be he, she, he in terms of our functionality. And again, the male is proactive, the female is receptive, and they're the functions, which when they become blended into the unified light body, I have a dear friend that always addresses me as brother, sister. Now, my name is Ashtar Athena, brother, sister. And yes, I feel and identify with being both male and female. And feels perfectly normal for me, perfectly comfortable. It was a bit of a problem deciding what gender I was as I grew up. That was a bit of a confusion for me as a star-seeded child. And but again, this is part of the unified moving back into our wholeness, is to begin to relinquish the imperative to define ourselves and label ourselves by something that has to do with our physicality. We learn to transcend that and begin to realize that we are a being. We're consciousness. We are a divine emanation of light and sound in a specific divine design. And in terms of our previous passages through time and space, we have been men many times, we have been women many times, we have been heterosexual, we've been homosexual, we've been in marriages where there was a great plurality, many wives, or in some cultures, many husbands. The Bible itself is full of that. There were plural marriages throughout the Bible, throughout the Middle East, and even today. So let's not get all bent out of shape with what people choose to do with a part of their body, or who they choose to do whatever with that part of their body. This is, again, something that the ego puts a tremendous amount of judgment and critiquing on. It has nothing to do with divine truth. But, again, we see all of that coming to bear as we move into this this period of time, the sixth day, because everything comes up, the filters come off, and we begin to see how ugly prejudice is. I was born in the segregated South during the time when they were still doing public lynchings, if you could imagine anything. So horrid and so stupid. And thank God I didn't grow up there. We moved very rapidly, thank God. By the time I was four, we moved to California. But I can remember in the first grade when I went to school in California, there were two little African-American, the little brother and little sister. Nobody would play with them. And I would make it a point to go and play with those children and love them. And I would always share my lunch with them or give them my lunch money or buy them milk or whatever. And It grieved my little heart, and here's a little child, 6 years old, and yet it knew better than to harbor prejudice. You know, that just comes in with those of us that come from higher worlds or come from, you know, from more spiritual development. You just, you know, prejudice just doesn't come up on your radar at all. In fact, I have a really dear friend who happens to be a Native American, excuse me, Afro-American. One day somebody made some remark about this woman being black, and I had to stop and think. I said, who are you talking to, talking about? And they said, oh, so-and-so. I said, oh, for heaven's sakes, I never noticed. You know, I just never noticed what race she was. It wasn't important to me. I don't tend to notice the color of people's skin. After all, it only has to do with sunshine. You know, if you're born in a climate where there's lots of sun, your skin pigmentation will be darker. If you're born like my generations from Scotland and Ireland and England, you'll have very fair skin because you don't have that much sun. So remember, color is only skin pigment deep. It has nothing to do with the superiority or the inferiority of a race. It has nothing to do with their level of intelligence. their level of proficiency or ability. It has nothing to do with any of that. I can't believe that we can still have even the slightest shred of prejudice today in 2009. It's just such an oxymoron. So let's not harbor anything. Anyone who considers himself a light worker, let's not have any prejudice against people according to their skin color, their gender preference, their the way they dress, the way they talk, their level of education. Please, let's look beyond to the Son of the living God that lives and dwells in every single human being. And let's respect them and honor them. I must admit, I cried when I watched President Obama sworn into office, as so many people did. I grew up in the generation where I was living in California when they had the Watts riots and all these other things that erupted throughout the years, and in the 60s when I was in college and saw the things that were taking place. So I feel very much a child of the generation that finally saw an end to segregation. But, you know, we have to segregate that evil within us, which tends to consider itself better than another. That's the real evil that has to be wrested out. And of course we know that's the ego in its ugliest manifestation, is hatred and prejudice against another. So remember, whatsoever you do to the very least of these, you do to the Lord himself. So anytime you want to do something to another person, remember to remind yourself, I'm doing this to the Lord. This is what I'm doing to the Lord. Gosh, I remember. Wow. There's a story in India about a man who was relieving himself, and he was repeating the name of Rama while he was attending to his calls of nature. Somebody came by, and of course it was considered, you know, a sin to speak the name of the Lord while you're relieving yourself. And so he's going aside, hey Ram, hey Ram, hey Ram, hey Ram. The guy comes up and he smacks him on the face. And the man said, what are you doing? What are you doing? He says, how dare you repeat the name of Rama when you are relieving yourself in that manner? And so then the same man who had hit this other man went up to heaven. And here he sees Lord Vishnu coming towards him with big red hand mark welts on his face. And he said, oh my gosh, Lord, what happened? And he said, hey, fellow, what are you doing? You smacked my face when I was relieving myself in the field just now. So remember, whatsoever you do to anyone, there's only one who lives in every form. The outer costume is a big charade. It's a big, big costume parade. But there's only one that dwells in every form, and that is the Divine Spirit. That's why we say Namaste. We recognize and we honor the divine in all beings. So by, according to the Mayans, by October 28th, 2011, we have moved into such a state of enlightenment that we will see the divine in ourselves and in everyone. And in all of life, we will have moved into the unified field. Can't even imagine what that will be like. Wow. There will be not the slightest vestige of againstness or difference or anything that we've known before. Are we ready? I mean, this is right on our doorstep. Are we ready for some serious changes so fast, so dramatic, so consciousness-altering that it's like we suddenly have a switch turned on and we're in a different state. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but I really wonder how many of us really understand the times we're in. I mean, life is so captivating, sometimes you don't even have hardly time to think about it. And yet it's the most important thing that we can think about. I mean, you know, if you can practice 24/7 meditation where you're all constantly thinking about these things, contemplating. This is real meditation, is when you hear things like the things I share with you on the show, and you turn them over in your mind and you contemplate them. You know, there may be only a small portion you grasp or you remember, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't take a whole box of matches to light a fire. You just need one match. So if you can just take one thing and apply it all the time, that's enough to ignite the whole of your consciousness with a new understanding. And we are moving into a time where we will lose the sense of againstness, which is, again, the cult of ego, is againstness, when you're against anyone. And personally, if you're in a belief system that exacerbates this consciousness of againstness, you might want to look at that and see if you want to continue in it. I personally have extricated myself from a couple areas in my life where I was participating with people who were in that mindset of being, for example, against gays or against a particular political party or president or against a particular, well, whatever. You just slot it in, whatever your thing is. And I thought, is that really my reality? Do I really believe that? And when I looked inside my heart, I was like, no, I don't get that that's the way it is at all. It's like, well, okay, why do you want to sit where you hear that sort of philosophy espoused all the time? It's a waste of time. So I just extricated myself from that. And but I do understand people with those kind of mindsets, because what happens is that they buy into a belief system that they've read in a book, but they haven't had a transformative experience of their inner self that would reveal to them in a nanosecond that they are divine and would reveal to them the divinity of everyone else. It's called self-realization. And they have taken God and put God outside of themselves and have taken the way of returning back into the love and put it on the shoulders of a form of a person in the outer world instead of following the teachings of that person, which is all about love. So let's be vigilant to not do that. Let's not give support and assent to things that divide and separate and exacerbate conflict and hatred in this world. We just need to get over it and be present with love. The Bible says, to those who love, to whomever loves, much is forgiven. And I think that's more important than being self-righteously righteous. I would rather be happy than right. And I think you probably would too, or you wouldn't be listening to me for so long. So as we go into this time of great change, we have one more night before us. We'll have the sixth night, which will start November 8th, 2009, and will last until November 2nd, 2010. And that will give us a little bit of time to catch up with ourselves, to integrate the flowering and the changes that the present day six has brought into our lives. And it will be the last little bit of time that we have to catch up with ourselves, so to speak, as we experience the first galactic pulse of cosmic consciousness. Well, this is a tad beyond Christ consciousness. This is cosmic consciousness. Wow. And we will have the harmonic convergence, the second harmonic convergence, May 27th, 2010. And this will be the time when the balance between the East and the West, and I would say probably also the right and left brain and all of that, will be finally and at last resolved. And then we enter day 7, November 3rd, 2010. And we will have that complete return to the unified field. And the Mayans say that happiness and a sense of balance and inner stability are soon to be experienced by everyone. Not just a few, like in the past, there were a few people that were enlightened. This is for everyone. Nor will we need to depart from the world. We don't have to exit our normal life. Because remember, we're not doing this alone. This is why the Holy Spirit was given to us by, bestowed on us at Pentecost by the Master Jesus. It was imbued, it was inserted into our consciousness so that it could teach us all things that are of truth, all things that he wanted to teach us that we weren't quite ready to hear 2,000 years ago. But now the Holy Spirit is doing its work, and it never leaves you halfway. It takes you all the way and completes perfectly the work that it has begun in you. So the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Divinity, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God, lives in you as you. And that is bringing you gradually to the state of inner equanimity and happiness and balance. We don't polarize. You don't segregate. You don't separate. You just look with a loving heart. You look through the eyes of your heart and see the divine face of the Beloved wherever you look. So the end of the split mind is what we have now before us. And this is a path in which you set your intention, and that all automatically aligns you with the Holy Spirit when that you will, that he, the Holy Spirit, or she, however you want to language it, takes charge and control of every quark of your being and guides you from within. And that state of happiness and stability begins then to become your natural state. And it has nothing to do with anything but that choice that you have made for love. So welcome to day 6, a new president, a day of renaissance, a day of change, and yes, we can. So let's go out chanting. Let's do Yeshua. Yeshua. Adonai and God in